The benefit, Matthew, of people who've never been to Lamb Bay or Lamb Bay Island, because people interchange between them both. Some say Lamb Bay Island and some just say Lamb Bay. Tell us exactly where it is, how large it is, because I think it's the biggest island, if I'm not mistaken, off the northeast coast. And do we say Lamb Bay or Lamb Bay Island?
It is Lamb Bay because it's the Viking oi, the EY at the end, like Dolkoi, Dolky Island is, again, your repeating island. So it's Dolky, Lamb Bay, and so on. So that's the Viking term for an island. So Ruchru, as it was in the Irish landscape, Ruchru was Portran, was Port Ruchru. So it's the port for the island out here. But it's a square mile in area, almost exactly, with enormous sea cliffs. And because, like you say, it's one of the few islands off the east coast, it has enormous bird colonies, seabird colonies in the summer months, from puffins, guillemots, razorbills, right through to gannets and several species of gulls. So it is an absolute wonderland of natural history.
Matthew, when I think of Lamb Bay and the natural history there, two species spring to mind, other than birds, of course. There's the red-necked wallaby and there's the black rat. So what's the status of those currently on the island?
They are both very, very happy here. The red-necked wallaby, there's probably several hundred individuals. It started from a little population of eight individuals that came here in the 1980s from Dublin Zoo, which has always had surplus animals simply because they do, once they've settled down, they do breed quite well in our climate. The black rat, likewise, is unfortunately, one might say, even though it's one of the few colonies left in the whole of Ireland, possibly the only colony left, they do prey upon the burrow nesting seabirds. So Manx shearwater puffins probably are predated quite heavily by the black rat. So other islands, you know, the idea of controlling rats is significant because one of the benefits that an island presents is there are no foxes and stoats and so forth. The predators are missing, and therefore these seabirds can breed quite happily on the cliffs without being predated.
Matthew, you mentioned puffins there, and I once had a very memorable visit to Lamb Bay in the company of Her Imperial Highness Princess Takamado of Japan. Derek's laughing, yes. Name dropping here. but she is the honorary president of BirdLife International and a very keen bird photographer. She'd never seen puffins before, so a visit was arranged to take her to the islands to see them, and then we took her to Rockabilly after that to see the roseate terns. How are the puffins doing on Lamb Bay? It's pretty significant, I think, having a bird like that at a colony so close to Dublin City.
But not yet.
Not at the moment. No, but in the summer they will be. That's
right. Not back yet, but they will be. The best day of sort of sailing around the island, you might see as many as 50 on the cliffs, but really the population is tiny compared to what it was. One of the fascinating things about Lamb Bay is that, you know, 120 years ago, Robert Lloyd Praeger came out with a handful of other naturalists, and they did an in-depth survey of the island. So we've got this amazing data set, if you like, from 1905 of what species of bird were here, their abundance and so forth, and we can compare it to, you know, the current populations. But there is no question that puffins are suffering. Now, whether it's a lack of food resources from sand eels and so on, or whether it's the loss of good burrows or predation by black rats, or the other problem on Lamb Bay is actually the very large population of black-back gulls, which are ferocious predators of many of these other seabirds. All of those pressures have resulted in puffin colonies being much smaller than certainly I can remember in my youth.
I'm just wondering, are there any tulips out there, Matthew? I mean flowers, by the way. On Lamb Bay, do they grow on Lamb Bay?
No tulips that I've seen, no. But you're right, the bulb fields of Rush are a very colourful addition to North County Dublin. Mm. Certainly a lot of daffodils here, but, by and large, the island is a wild landscape. It's not gardened other than immediately around the buildings. So, it is wonderful to see such wild nature. And some of the plants that Prager found, he noted down where they were, they're still growing in exactly the same spot. And I'm always astounded that 120 years later, you can visit, you know, that spot 100 yards from a particular bay, and there's the plant still growing. So like Aina said, she, you know, she hunted down the rock sea lavender. It's moved, that particular species. It's now growing somewhere else. But it's amazing to see on a small landscape like this, an island, you're looking at, you know, a historic bit of knowledge and the distribution of a plant. And they are mysterious sometimes, where animals and plants will reappear or thrive at one century and later they will have moved to another spot.
The reason I'm asking about tulips is Terry Flanagan is about to join us now, and he's going to tell us about a tulip farmer in North County Dublin. I know that in the Botanic Gardens you've got a tulip walk, haven't you, or a tulip border?
We always have a huge display in the spring, yes, of tulips and daffodils, just to really demonstrate the horticultural range of tulips to visitors, so that, you know, they can at least comprehend a bit about the variety of tulips that are available.
So when can we expect to see them in full bloom?
Oof, that's it's always a tricky one, but, you know, we do need to wait till late April, May before they're, you know, out in abundance. So certainly their leaves are all up at the moment. We've had a cold spell right now, but today is warmed up a lot. Mm. So, you know, how that spring will develop from now on is hard to know. But certainly by the end of April, we will be seeing a huge number of blooms.
Anyway, thank you very much indeed, Matthew. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Excellent. Bye.
Bye. There goes Matthew Jebb on Lamb Bay, or Lamb Bay Island. But as he's explained, it's Lamb Bay. You don't need to add in the island bit. Every day is a school day, Aina.
Yes, indeed. And of course, I've been out diving off Lamb Bay on the wreck of the John Taylor, which was a ship, sailing ship, left Liverpool to go to Australia in 1850 with an iron hull. And they hadn't adjusted the magnets, because before that the hulls were wooden. And the magnetic setting was changed by the iron hull. And instead of going to Australia, they sailed east and crashed off Lambe. And it took 2 or 3 days for the ship to go down. All the sailors climbed up the rigging and escaped. And all the women drowned except the captain's wife. And why did they all drown?
Because
they had their life savings sewn into their skirts, all the money that they were bringing to Australia with them. They couldn't climb up with the wet, heavy skirts, and by gum, they weren't taking them off, and everyone would see their legs. It's very, very eerie when you go down on the wreck, because there's dead men's fingers, and there's all sorts of murky gloom, and you're looking down at all these timbers. They had a cargo of tombstones, of all things, which they were bringing so they could write their names. They never thought the tombstones would mark their grave there. So it's a very interesting place all around. Mm.